The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody jump! 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 Jump!
All right, here we go. A little Friday action. Taz and the Moose, but no Moose. Moose is out sick today, so we hope he feels better. Andrew Bogish, AB, otherwise known as Antonio Bogish, he will be sitting in for the Moose. We'll get to him in 1 second. We're coming to you live right now from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios, who understands that it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage. That's the difference. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. You want to give the show a call? Very simple process.
Attention, hotline fans.
All you got to do is dial 855-212-4CBS. That's an 855-212-4227. Thank you to all our great affiliates across these great United States. Maybe you're listening right now on radio.com or you're listening on the CBS Sports app. Maybe Sirius XM Channel 206 or on the Sirius XM app. Channel 206. You can follow the show on Instagram and Twitter at Taz and the Moose. That's Taz with one Z and Moose with two O's, not six. Andrew Bogus, welcome to the show. How are you, sir?
Oh, Taz, it's good to be here. Thank you for having me. And don't worry, I've already made the first Moose is at the vet joke this morning, so we're off and running.
Okay. Yeah. You offline, you made this joke?
I tweeted it.
I don't know the social media
show
yet today.
Yeah, I tagged you, so you should have gotten a notification that you were tagged by me.
Well, I turned my Twitter off last night, like some people turn their emails off. So I turned my Twitter off last night.
You sound?
Inside Joke Jones. Yeah, but you're promoting a show on Twitter. That's a good job.
Yeah, I figured I might as well, since I'm filling in for Moose today, I should take over his normal social media responsibilities.
Yeah, sure.
If I'm going to co-host, I should also be on the tweet machine. So so here we are. And I hopefully Moose is better, because it was not pretty yesterday.
You know, and before we get into talking about this excellent AFC matchup we had on Thursday Night Football with the Texans and the Colts, Moose was very sick with an upper respiratory sniffling snot nose type of sickness, whatever he had going on.
You know, on one hand,
he was making germs all over that whole area there that you're sitting in right now.
No, I know, and I've done all I can to sterilize this area this morning before sitting down here for the next 3 hours. On one hand, and we make light of how much Moose works, but Moose works a lot,
please.
And there's nothing efficient about it. He's here, then he goes home for a little bit and nearly burns down the house doing electrical work. Then he'll come all the way back from Connecticut into Manhattan, even farther south than we are. Then he drives all the way home at night. I don't know what he does overnight, and then he comes all the way back down here. He's running himself into the ground. He should be sicker more often than he is.
That's unbelievable.
So
what you're
on
doing
one hand,
right now.
He's sturdy.
I can't believe you're actually doing this
but
right
on
now.
On the other
radio.
Hand, he yesterday was gross. There was just noises and guttural sounds and things flying through this room.
The last thing I wanted to talk about was what we talked about.
Moose over.
And what we talk about every day on this show about how much Moose works. Now I'm exaggerating. It's not every day. The guy's not here, and now
every
we're
other
still
day.
Talking. And you know who's guilty of this for 2 years? Since this show's been in existence, it's you.
Yeah, no.
Every time you come in here and you do the update, I got to hear offline. I got to hear how Moose works himself into the ground. You're not married to the guy. You're not his best friend. You're not even his friend. So you don't even care.
He likes me less than you like me.
That's probably accurate.
Yeah,
I think that might be right. And you like him, right? But you like him probably more than me.
No, you're my favorite. That's not.
That's not true.
It 100% is. That's fine. Moose is a man. He can hear it. I'd say it if he was here. You're my favorite.
I love bearded men, but that's okay.
If this studio is on fire and I can only save one of you, I would save you.
Thank you. I don't need anybody's help.
No,
I can save myself.
Well, that goes without saying.
Yeah, I don't need anybody's help.
You would have already been gone before the decision had to be made.
Dude.
But
this place goes on fire, I'm dropping everybody in my path. And I'll be gone, and I'll lock yous all in here.
Right.
Okay, that's what I'll do.
Thank you.
Happy Friday.
And knock us out the human shield of us. While we burn on the outside, you're covered by us. And you're safe escape
in
the building.
I'm joking. Some people don't get my sense of humor, but I get my sense of humor. That's all that matters. But anyway, so then later on, you're going to give us a little, because I don't know what happened, apparently, when D.A.,
things happened.
Who's on the radio here on CBS Sports Radio nationally right after Taz and the Moose. And D.A. does a great job. So he was on after us yesterday, like always, in this same studio. I don't want to know. I want to hear it on the air. I know there was some kind of an issue with the cleanse, the sanitary situation.
Right. Well, you were nice enough to alert DA to Moose's failing health during this show yesterday. So DA came in prepared.
Right. And well, we're going to hear about that later.
Yeah, but not just as a tease.
But you have a habit of, your teases are basically, you expose everything.
DA did something that I wouldn't have expected anyone to do yesterday.
And that's a good tease.
Yeah. To get this place as clean as possible.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
To protect DA as much as possible.
Well, I don't blame him. He's, you know, he should do that. Uncomfortable, awkward, weird segue. But, yeah, the Texans beat the Colts 20-17. A heck of an AFC matchup on a Thursday night. I've been a big fan of these Thursday night games for the most part, even since last year. My normal co-host, Mark Malusis, is not a big fan of the Thursday night games, but he's been leaning that way. Are you a fan of these Thursday night games?
I mean, I like that there's a game last night. There was something to watch last night, but more times than not, the game sucks because it's Thursday and not Sunday, and guys are just, you're not meant to play Sunday and then Thursday. But sure. I will say this, they have done a better job of giving us better matchups, and in particular now, the last couple of weeks, they've had some really good primetime matchups that became good primetime games, and last night it wasn't always pretty.
Right.
But it was good football. It was close football. I mean, it was a one-score game basically the entirety of the game.
Yep.
Had some ref controversy late, had some big throws from Deshaun Watson. And for the Texans, it's a win they had to have for about 9 different reasons in my head.
No doubt. And obviously now they take the lead right there in the AFC South. The Texans are 7-4 right now, and the Colts are sitting in second place at 6-5. There's still, you know, several games left, obviously, to go in the season. But, I'll tell you what. I thought Watson looked excellent. I mean, he was just a little south of 298 yards. So I was going to say a little south of 300 yards. He was 19-30 with 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. You know, there was a good – if you like watching NFL teams run the football.
Yeah.
It was, and I do. I like that. And the Indianapolis Colts, even in a loss, their offensive line showed up again. They blocked great. They're really great up front. Williams ran the ball really well. He had 26 carries at 104 yards at 1 touchdown. So he played well. And Hyde played well on the side for the Texans. So I felt like it was a good amount of running in this game. I mean, it felt like a nice.
Old school football.
I do.
I didn't hate whatever that Rams Chiefs game was last year, 51-48, whatever that ended up being. I mean, I didn't mind that, and it ended up being more aberration than regular. Remember, people were freaking out the morning after that game, like, this is the NFL.
I know.
And we didn't ever get that again. But no, last night was some throwback football. It was old school. Now I think there's a conversation to be had that maybe the Colts ran the ball too much. I think it ended up being 39 rushes, only 25 passes.
Right.
And, you know, they were playing from behind in the second half, so they needed to go downfield.
You got to throw the ball.
And when they tried to, it didn't work. 2 huge drops by T.Y. Hilton in that game, both on third down.
Who was back playing.
But it didn't. I mean, clearly didn't look like he should have been back playing last night.
Calf strain, I believe. Right? He had a calf strain, right? Yeah.
So maybe they realized that there wasn't much to do in the passing game, but that's a Texans secondary that's been in flux, so people thought they were going to throw going into the game. And then they ended up not doing it, and it almost worked, I guess, but still, there probably was a time or two to be a little bit more aggressive than they were.
Right, yeah. And to your point, Andrew, the Colts, as far as time possession, even in a loss, the Colts dominated time possession in the game, because they were running the ball so much, so they were possessed the ball. But yeah, to your point, later in the game, and now you're playing catch-up, and now you're running the rock. I mean, I don't know if it's just a situation where they're not trusting Prissett or what. He was 16, by the way, the quarterback of the Colts, 16 of 25, 429 yards. Side note from the game, but speaking on Prissett for a second, I thought Joe Buck and Aikman did a good job, and Fox did a good job of explaining. I think we talked about a while back, Moose and I, you probably knew this already, but about Prissett's relationship with Bill Parcells. Okay, I don't know if you caught that, but they did a good job of talking about the backstory and the friendship of two guys from two totally different generations in the NFL, right? But the connection they have and the friendship they have, and how Brissett will get advice or whatnot, and has a friendship, and they text on a regular. Bill Parcells, I can't picture Bill Parcells texting.
No,
he seems so old school.
Agreed,
right or wrong.
He seems like a guy that we would not understand that he's got a flip phone, A, and B, just would have no patience for texting. But good job out of Bill for doing it.
Yeah, I know, right? But, yeah, I just thought it was an interesting connection that these two cats have. You know, one guy from many years ago with all success and now Brissett, you know, falling into you-know-what because Andrew Luck decided to retire and playing pretty good. But, yeah, so the Colts now, they sit 6-5, like I said, and the Texans 7-4. J.J. Watt, I don't know if you caught the pregame at all. They had a nice interview with J.J. Watt, an on-camera interview with him. What was it? Bradshaw, the in-studio team. It was Bradshaw, Michael Strahan, and who was there?
The Menifee? I don't watch pregame shows ever.
Wow, you're another guy.
Never.
Love the pregame.
I know you do.
Love
which
it.
Which is an odd thing to love. Because they don't tell you anything.
Tony Gonzalez, that's what
they're
doing. Yeah, well, that's not true. I disagree with that. I think they do tell you things.
Oh, they tell you things that you might have already heard. I don't know. When I watch them, there's very little newness to them. Even last week, was it last week? Yeah, it was because of Myles Garrett. I mean, the way, and Kaepernick and everything like that. I mean, I'll pass. I'm fine with it. It's fluff. Get me to 1 o'clock or 4 o'clock or 8:30 and let's go.
Hardcore Jones.
Yeah,
you just go right in. Yeah.
I don't need it.
Well, because also, we're covering sports every day. We're reading about these games. We're reading about all the stuff off the field. So you've heard us already. But for the casual fan that has a job that doesn't include, you know, covering sports, you know, for them, pregame's cool.
Yeah.
And hearing a guy like Strahan, a guy like Terry Bradshaw, a guy like Gonzalez there. I mean, usually Howie Long's there, but he wasn't there. You know, hearing that, you know, hearing these guys chat up the game, you know, legends in the game, right, from different generations, that's cool to a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, and not to, you know, to dump on, like, the one-on-one interviews like you're mentioning here, like, that's the stuff that those are worthwhile. Like, the kind of personal stories, the behind-the-scenes stories. So that's what those shows bring to the table. Otherwise,
you are as arrogant as advertised.
No, okay. I'm not arrogant. I just don't.
Mike, he's arrogant. Isn't he not coming off arrogant right now? And I know arrogance, right?
Big time.
Yeah. Sorry, Mike Seaton is apples.
I know. Nuts.
Yeah, he's just nuts. Yeah,
squirrel
segment
back
one
there.
Is all about the nuts for Mike behind the scenes.
Oh, no, that's
segment
two.
Winter.
No, but they had this, they chatted up with J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt did Strahan and Bradshaw and Gonzalez. And J.J. was saying, I can't remember the question exactly it was. I'll paraphrase it. But, you know, when's he getting ready to come back or whatever? If, you know, when's he coming back? And he alluded to, he didn't want to say it, but he kind of alluded to the sense I got that sooner rather than later. He had a big grin on his face type thing, you know, J.J. Watt. So
I mean, it sucks to watch him standing there.
I know.
And
I know,
not playing for them. And again, I mean, this is, what, the third time in 4 years, I think, where he's had a season-ending injury. So, I mean, it's tough luck for him and tough luck for them. And it's one of the reasons why last night meant so much about them. And they got smacked on Sunday in Baltimore, looked completely inept. Now they're back at home 5 days later.
Right.
Against their, you know, what's become their main rival in the AFC South. First place is on the line.
Only game in town Thursday night. Right.
I still don't understand how this, like, win probability thing works, but whoever was going to win last night was going to jump to, like, a 60% likelihood of winning the South, winning the division,
the
and the
South,
loser
right.
ends up with only, like, a 24% chance. I don't know what any of that really means, but there was clearly, based on those numbers, there was a lot on the line there, and the Texans, I feel like in the past, whether it's been at home, on the road, in the playoffs, against the Colts last year, or in the regular season, they let us down more often than not. Like, they skew to the negative more often than not, and last night they skewed positive. It wasn't pretty. It was not a direct line. They didn't dominate. They could have lost last night, but they figured out a way to not lose,
right,
to run out the clock late. They survived that weird fumble, non-fumble with Deshaun Watson and Darius Leonard, watching a field goal hit the upright and go through for them last night.
That's
so,
luck.
You know, I needed the Texans needed to show some you-know-what last night, and they did in pulling that game out.
Yeah, they did, and now we've got the Pats, right? They're hosting the Pats. They're playing the
Patriots.
That's
next Sunday night.
Next Sunday night. That's what I meant. Yeah, I didn't mean this Sunday. Yeah. That'd be so funny to play Thursday, then Sunday.
And that's their
last. Could you imagine that?
If you could, the NFL would make you do it.
You got a day and a half. Get ready.
That's their last right now. That's their toughest game left. After that, they're home for Denver, at Tennessee, at Tampa Bay, home for Tennessee.
Tennessee again.
Those four teams have non-winning records.
Right.
That's if they get through the Patriots and then close strong, and they should be fine in that division.
But it's interesting, if you jump ahead past, you know, like you said, the Patriot game, which is going to be tough as heck for them, but they and then Denver, and like you said, Tennessee, then Tampa Bay, then Tennessee again. You know, they got on December 15th, Tennessee. Then the 21st, Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Then the 29th, Tennessee again. So you got like, it's weird that within 3 weeks you play a team twice. I don't see them beating, just putting the cart ahead of the horse for a minute. I don't see them beating Tennessee. It's tough to beat any team twice in 3 weeks. You know what I mean? It's in the NFL. I think that's tough to do.
Yeah, but it's also going to be the last, you know, that's the end of the season. Titans will be officially dead at that point. It's still Tannehill. One of those games is at home. I like their chances.
You're not a Tannehill fan? All right.
I think he has his limitations.
We have that a lot of that around here, but that's a whole other story.
Limitations?
Not on this show, but yes, correct. The latest surrounding Myles Garrett and Mason Rudolph. We'll get into that. 855-212-4227. Taz and the Moose right here. Taz with Andrew Bogus sitting in for the Moose. We'll be right back.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio, toll-free line 855-212-4227 is brought to you by Geico. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. In 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Yes, it was an interesting thing, and we'll get into the situations surrounding, latest situations surrounding Myles Garrett and Mason Rudolph off of the fight last week with the Browns and the Pittsburgh Steelers when Garrett decided to take Rudolph's helmet and crack him over the skull with it. But we'll get into that in a second here. But, Andrew, you and I were talking during the break, and you know, as we have Brett Heller, who just walked in for his latest
sports update. Baby Heller.
Bench. Yes. That was a new one.
Yes. No, we've had that fun. Yeah, so Heller's here. Hello, how are you? Heller.
What's up, guys?
Hello, sir. That's great.
Good morning.
So what happens is this. So yesterday, while Moose was here with me, Andrew was getting, he was done with his update, Brad. You probably didn't hear this. You're busy working. And Moose called Andrew Sean as he got up.
Yeah.
Now, it was really odd.
Sean, I mean Marash, I mean Bogus.
That's how that went.
Doubled down on the insult.
Yeah, and now what happens, jokingly enough, you know, I was calling Andrew Bogus Antonio Bogus because he's AB, so like Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
It's a stupid little joke, right? I mean, and I don't know what happened. And next thing I know, I find out that on the DA show, this was played, that audio was played, of you being called Sean, Andrew.
Yeah, and they asked me how I felt, and I said it was a low point in my career.
I feel bad for you.
Yeah, thank you, because Sean is his own man. He's made this little mini Sean Marash empire, so kudos to him for that. But I don't.
Excuse me?
But I don't need to be
he's made a what?
Mistaken for him.
An empire?
It's a mini. It's very small. It's miniature. It exists only on his block in Long Island. It's that small.
Sean and miniature in the same?
Only in this regard. Anyway, I don't want to be compared or mistaken for Sean. We don't look alike in any way. And as I said to DA yesterday, I really thought that this show.
Which show? Taz and the Moose?
Taz and the Moose was a safe zone from all of this. Because Pete can agree.
Pete who?
Pete the body.
Yeah.
Like, people on Twitter like to always throw Sean back at us like he's this megastar, and it gets a little taxing. So, Taz and Moose is a safe zone, as I said, because you don't like Sean, Taz, so we were not allowed to speak of him on this show. And then yesterday, I get Miraz right in the face from Moose.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah.
That was weird that he just, I was strange. Moose is usually perfectionist with names, but
what was he
thinking
about?
I think he was. I also think he was under the weather, and
that was the deal breaker for him.
Yeah,
he's like, oh,
yeah.
He
was sick, you know. But he had a plethora of cough drops. He had snot rags all over the desk. It was disgusting. The whole situation. I felt bad for him. Really, the guy was really a mess. But anyway, you know. But apparently, when he was on WFAN, Moose with Maggie.
Was fine, by the way. Not even a hint of an illness.
All right.
Yeah.
And what happens is, I believe you said Sean was their producer on that.
Yes, which is why.
Is he the regular producer on that show?
He is, yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes. So that's why I think.
I guess I should stay on top of stuff that goes on.
No, you're fine. I think that's
6 to 9 a.m. Eastern. I'm good.
Yeah, anything that happens before 6 or. Oh, look. Did you hear that?
Yeah, you're getting sick. Well, you're sitting in the sick chair.
How fast is this? Yeah. 25 minutes. That's why I'm assuming Sean was in Moose's head, because they had spent the afternoon together the day before.
All right. Brad Heller. It's great to see you. Seriously,
Rob
man.
Good to be back.
Yeah, it's just really just one of one.
Speaking
of
a safe zone, it's good to be back.
Well, yeah, I know you love being on this show. That's what
I
a lot
do.
Of people have told me, and we love having you.
It's
here.
Always a treat.
Yeah. Yeah. Jim Heller.
So much respect.
It's always a treat to hear my name. To hear my name said in so many different ways, shapes, and
it's just
forms.
These are things, Heller. These are great moments in Taz and the Moose history. So it's great when I mean you're becoming a star here rapidly. Let's be honest.
It's a little overwhelming.
Yeah, and you're welcome. So just so you know, you are welcome.
You could be the next Sean. Fingers crossed.
What?
Antonio Heller.
Bradtonio.
Bradtonio Heller. You have an update?
I do. I'm
ready
to go.
Well, they, you know, I just figured you should probably do your update, and then you might get interrupted while you're doing it. That can happen. So
that's fine.
All right.
All right.
3-2-1, go.
Okay. All right, we'll start Thursday Night Football. The Texans taking control in the AFC South.
Second down. Watson gets the snap, and he airs it out deep down the left side. Watch DeAndre Hopkins, and Newt makes the catch for another touchdown. The Texans retake.
Mark Vandermeer, the fourth quarter call on Texans radio. Second time Deshaun Watson hooked up with DeAndre Hopkins. That one was the difference. The Texans 20, the Colts 17 in Houston. The Texans break the first place tie in the division. After they were blasted by the Ravens on Sunday, Watson finished with 298 yards passing.
Every win in this lead is very tough, especially coming off a short week against a great team. Disciplined, fundamentally sound, hard-nosed team. And to come in and take care of business and fight 60 minutes is great. And
the Colts had a couple of touchdowns on the ground, one by Jacoby Brissett. Brissett only threw for 129 yards, though. T.Y. Hilton, who normally dominates Houston, had just three catches for 18 yards. Also, a couple of big drops in his return.
Hold on a second. Sorry to interrupt you, Brad. I have a question. So, Andrew, now I see this tweet you're talking about.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if you heard about this, Brad. So, Andrew tweets, because whenever Andrew is sitting in for Moose or myself, he has to take to social media, and he does it quick to let all of his followers know he's going to be co-hosting.
He's on top of it. He's got to be, yeah.
He's co-hosting the National Sports Morning Show, Radio Jones.
He was in the bathroom with Barry Trotz.
And so he has to do this. He can't help himself.
AndrewBogus.com is updated immediately as well.
Dude, I'm not kidding. It's unbelievable.
And the app.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
all connected.
It's 2019, guys.
The guy is, it's like, he's so, he has to go to Twitter, how am I doing? Has to go to Twitter, and he says, fine, I'll say it. Moose is at the vet, so I'm. This is kind of a social media update. This is kind of a social media update, I think. Kind of, right?
A little bit.
Even though you're co-hosting, it's kind of a social media update. Okay, maybe a little late on that. It's kind of like a social media update. Ah, there we go. So, fine, I'll say it. This is what Andrew Bogus said, at Andrew Bogus. I'll say, Moose is at the vet, so I'm hanging with Taz on Taz and Moose, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, blah, 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 blah. And, of course, Al Dukes has to chime in. He probably should go to a human doctor if he's not feeling well. See, this is the thing that this is what triggered me is Al Dukes because
who produces for Boomer and Geo.
Right, correct.
Mm,
so thanks for
friends.
Letting the audio know. Yeah. Right, when you used to be on the fan sometimes and they pulled you off because I had a rant.
Yeah,
yeah. So it's
that's
my
exactly
ass.
What happened.
Yeah,
year one.
That's true. I mean, once I went on that rant, did you know about this spread? They loved him over there. He was doing updates. During the summer, I think, and I went off that, you have to be on the fan to be famous.
Yeah.
Like, look, they're talking about me. Oh, my God, FAN. Oh, my God. So he was on Boo and Geo. It was like a big deal, and he was marking out or whatever. So So I kind of had a little tirade, a little rant, and I got talked to about that, too. So that's a whole that's just like constant slaps on the wrist for Taz. So anyway, Al Dukes is obsessed when people are out sick. I've learned this. Because recently I was out sick for 2 days, which I don't take a lot of sick days, but apparently people on this show think I do, which is a little odd for me. And Al Dukes had to take the Twitter a couple of weeks ago. Mike, you saw this, right? Please.
The one that he had from a few weeks ago? I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah. He had some comments. I'm not going to get into it. And I was a little taken aback. Andrew, now, this Paula, it has to see Moose is out sick, so Al Dukes has to jump in and say something. Your joke about the vet thing is kind of weird.
I know.
It took me 2 times to read it to get the joke.
It's fine.
But you were just trying to think of a creative way. See,
he's a
Brad,
moose. He's at
the
vet.
No. Bro. You were trying to think of a creative way.
Oh, hey, moose
knows.
At the vet. There we go.
He just got the joke. But you.
This is a tough room.
But you.
It's a safe space.
Antonio, you.
Yeah.
You were trying to think of a creative way to put out there that you're co-hosting the show. That's what you did. Be honest.
Have I hid from that?
I guess not.
No. And I will point out, for the record, that normally the person that sits in the seat gets yelled at for not tweeting. Now I'm getting yelled at for tweeting about the show.
Well,
so, as always, there are no winners.
Taz. I think I muted the Taz the Moose account. The old show I co-host, I muted it. Is that bad?
Which would make sense.
That'll be another phone call.
It's not bad. It's not the best, but it's not bad.
Yeah. Blocking it would be worse.
Right.
Sorry,
you can still see it.
Yeah, right. Blocking would be worse.
Yeah.
Brad, I apologize. Okay. Continue if you want.
All right. Meanwhile, the NFL upheld Myles Garrett's indefinite suspension and also said it did not find any evidence to back up Garrett's allegation that Mason Rudolph ignited last week's brawl with a racial slur. Marquise Pouncey's suspension, that was cut from 3 games to 2. NBA, the Blazers are 0-2 with Carmelo Anthony. They lost to the Bucks in Milwaukee, 137-129. Portland was missing Damian Lillard again with back spasms. Melo scored 18 points.
I thought we played much better, kind of as a unit, competing, stayed in it. Some things we'll get better at, we'll learn from.
Giannis had a triple-double for the Bucks. They have now won 6 in a row. Also, the Pelicans outscored the Suns, 124-121. College hoops at Madison Square Garden. Number 1 Duke routed Cal 87-52. The 2K Empire Classic semis. The Blue Devils will face Georgetown in the championship game tonight. The Hoyas upset number 22 Texas 82-66. On the ice, the Islanders setting a franchise record with their 16-game point streak. They beat the Penguins again in overtime 4-3. The Maple Leafs win their first game with new coach Sheldon Keefe 3-1 over the Coyotes. In baseball, Yasmani Grandal getting
a 4.
That was my last line.
Sorry to interrupt you, Brad. I have a quick question.
I have to start over now.
You also, I know you do business with the Mets, but you do, I might have asked this before, so pardon my brain if I asked you in the past. Do you do play-by-play like Andrew does on like different college sports or what have you? Or?
No, I do studio hosting.
You've never done play-by-play?
I have. I did in college and did it down south.
Really?
The former voice of North Carolina women's basketball.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I was
down
in the SEC and the ACC for a few years. No, I worked there.
Oh, okay.
I was 3 years in Chapel Hill at the time.
So, wait.
Nobody knew my name down there.
But, no, but here's the thing. Well, again, I make stars. That's what I do here. Let's be honest.
Thank you.
I mean, this is well documented. And look around the room, bro.
Mike's waving his hand.
Mike just waved. He knows. Host of basketball drives. Pete Pilotti. He's a hot take machine because of me. People, he's over like Rover everywhere.
I'm over.
Antonio Bogus, enough said about that.
Mm, thank you, Taz. Again,
AndrewBogus.com.
My startup.
AndrewBogus.com. There it is.
And the app, net, right? Actually.
And now, jokes. Heller, you're next on tap, my friend. But
I appreciate
so,
that.
So, no, yeah, I'm just picturing you doing play-by-play. That's why. I didn't know you were you had done a lot of women's college basketball. You know Mikey B is a stud at play-by-play, right? You do know that.
One of the best in the business.
Really is. He's actually doing the wrong job. He should be doing play-by-play, like for probably one of the Big Ten.
It's perfection,
Mikey B, bro.
He sounds great.
Did you ever hear that?
No,
you never heard that.
That's like network quality,
dude. I'm not kidding. That was UVA baseball. Was that 17 years ago, Mike?
Something like that. It feels like 106.
Here's the 1-1. It's a ground ball to Keith Werman. Scoops it up. Throws to first. It's perfection. Will Roberts has thrown a perfect game for the Cavaliers.
And
how
the
good
perfectly
is that?
Engineered voice crack during the highest
bro.
Moment of emotion.
It's perfection.
Heller, this is a teaching moment for you. Your sentence. I'm sorry to be condescending. Andrew, you know how I get sometimes.
I don't even hear it anymore. I'm so used to it.
When you said,
he unplugged his headphones.
If you don't mind, repeat your sentence about what Mike did at his highest point. What did you say?
Perfection.
No, his voice.
The voice crack?
Yeah. It's called inflection. That's the word you're looking for. So.
Well.
No.
It's perfection!
His inflection on perfection was spot on.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It was the perfect
I'm
time
trying to
for
give you,
it.
I'm just trying to I'm trying to help you, sir. Push back.
Okay.
I'm trying to help you and give you more of a vast knowledge of grammar and vernaculars. This guy
That's
here.
That's not a word, Tess.
Right. Exactly.
I am a sponge.
You are a sponge. Yes, you're a sponge. But Mikey B is the most untapped talent here at CBS Sports Radio.
That.
And not only CBS Sports Radio, Pete Bilotti. I see you give me a dirty look. He's the most untapped talent on WFAN, and that's
perfection.
Whoa. That's like you can't even say that.
Thanks for putting me over.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, untapped talent. Brad, to hear that. So when you are getting ready to do any sort of play-by-play, Antonio Heller, you make sure you listen to some of Mikey B's UVA baseball.
I need to channel Mikey B. I'm going to have
to. We can chat.
Yeah.
By the way.
Thank you.
You know, Andrew, what I just thought about, we've never heard the full game of that UVA game. Who'd they play UVA in that game?
George Washington.
Okay.
The Colonials.
I wonder how he was the whole game.
Terrible.
That's
what I showed up in the big moment.
Like,
you don't need to hear the rest of
that
it.
That one moment of, wow, this guy sounds great. But what about the other?
What else are we getting?
No, it was brutal.
That's his demo tape. What else are we getting?
It was like, here's the 2-2. Is that a strike? A ball? I don't know.
Is that a bunt or a Texas leaguer?
Sorry, it was a home run. They go up 1-0.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, so, because anybody can look good or sound good on a highlight reel.
Totally.
I mean, you know, I mean, that's how Andrew got his job.
The gimmick.
But,
I mean, that could have been remastered. That could have been
so
remastered
down today.
Boosted, right?
Wasn't actually me.
Yeah, it could have definitely been.
Also, wasn't
I just want you done with your update?
The White Sox signed Yasmani Grandal. Now I'm done.
Good job, buddy. Hey, Brad, we're gonna see you in a little bit.
Okay,
Antonio Hello, ladies and gentlemen. All right, so like I said, we still have to get into the latest as I saw with Myles Garrett and Mason Rudolph. Andrew, we'll get into that. We got a little sidetrack. College football picks. We got that coming up. We got NFL picks coming up. Hey, call the show. Give us what college football game are you looking forward to watching this weekend, tomorrow, or maybe tonight? 855-212-4227. Who do you want to see? What NFL game you fired up out of your team? Got a good matchup, bad matchup? Give the show a call here. Andrew and I would love to chat with you. Again, 855-212-4227. Taz with Andrew. We'll be right back.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Hold on, take two. Part one, it's time to ask the pros. I didn't realize what I was here. I don't normally do this. This is normally Mark Melusis. And I can't blame Mike for this one. Okay, usually you're just like I'm a machine. I have reads. It's like, boom, boom. I'm used to podcasting. Okay, so now I'm going to backtrack, fix this in the podcast. This is an edit point in the podcast. 3, 2, 1. Oh, we just got back from break. Wow, it's time to ask the pros, Andrew, where you, the listener, gets to ask us a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros and submit your question by listening here later in the show where you might get us to answer your question, that type deal. So think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. So we were talking a little bit about it, about the latest situation with Myles Garrett, Andrew, and Mason Rudolph. And this thing now is becoming a he said situation. And someone's character now is being attacked, and that someone is Mason Rudolph. We don't know the truth, and hopefully we can. So, lay it down for us.
I mean, and this is, I don't know of a more serious allegation to make against a person. I mean, this is serious stuff. Myles Garrett saying that he heard a Mason Rudolph use a racial slur at the beginning of the brawl last Thursday between the Steelers and the Browns, and the NFL says they, as Brad said in his update, found no evidence of this. Mason Rudolph's lawyer and the Steelers sending out pretty strong denials of this. But then Myles Garrett last night issuing a statement that says that he heard what he heard. And he thought when he brought this up in his appeals hearing earlier this week that
it was private,
and they wouldn't get out. And now it's gotten out. And, you know, the one thing that jumped out at me in his statement was, you know, if it was said, he believes and says it was, that it doesn't condone the way he acted. Now, I don't want Myles Garrett swinging his helmet at anybody swinging somebody else's helmet at somebody. But if Mason Rudolph called him something horrible at the beginning of all this, it at least explains better why Myles Garrett might have lost his mind. Although, when I think about it, and this connects to my original thought that Mason Rudolph should have gotten punished more for his role in this.
Well, I agree with that part of it. You know, his role, the physical end of his role, Mason Rudolph. Because he, like I said, with Moose the other day, this kid more or less started this fight.
Yeah, and then if you remember the sequence of events, unless I'm completely remembering them incorrectly, Myles Garrett brings Mason Rudolph down, and then they wrestle on the ground with Rudolph trying to get Garrett's helmet off. Garrett flips it, takes Mason's helmet off.
Hold on. I want to get your opinion real quick, because I forget to ask you. Okay, when physical engagement happened, where Garrett engaged and wrapped up Mason Rudolph, I felt by watching how quick it happened, once Rudolph threw the ball to the running back towards the left in the flat, I think Garrett thought that Rudolph still had the ball. And when he took him down to the ground, I think he thought he had a sack.
Yeah.
Did you feel like he... If you watch it back, it was so quick where he was already engaged. Garrett was engaged with Rudolph's body when he threw that ball, more or less.
You know, I hadn't thought about what Myles Garrett was thinking. I think that he finished the tackle with a little extra oomph, and that's why Rudolph was upset, and Mason knew he didn't have the ball, so that's why he got upset. Garrett might not have known.
I don't think
the ball was away.
I really, in defense of him, I think he thought he had the ball.
So either way, when they're on the ground, they're wrestling, Mason's helmet comes off. Garrett is
well, he was hold on, Mason was trying to pull Garrett's helmet off.
Right. So, but the specifics are not my point. My point is that at some point, Myles Garrett is on his feet, no longer engaged with Mason Rudolph.
Right.
And then Rudolph comes back at him again.
To get his helmet.
And that's when he hits him with the helmet.
Right.
So why I'm bringing that up is if Myles Garrett heard the N-word or something else in the beginning of all of this, and that's why what happened, it would make more sense to me if he just went into this frenzy and beat the crap out of Mason Rudolph with no intermission.
Good point. Good
but
point.
There's a break in their get-together. Where
in,
he's
in the
almost,
heat, we'll call it the, we'll right. say the heat. We'll
like
say
he's
the heat.
He's almost calmed down. He's disengaged. Hmm. And Rudolph comes back at him, and then he hits him. If he had heard something horrible in the middle, if I'm putting myself in Myles Garrett's position,
right.
If I'm knocking a guy down, he says something like that to me, we're fighting then and there, and we're not stopping until someone drags me away. It was kind of over, and Rudolph started again. So it doesn't always completely line up in my mind. Like, if you're starting at a racial slur and ending in the helmet hit, like, it should have been continuous fight, and it wasn't. So I don't want to tell Myles Garrett what he heard, but I also think that when you are calling somebody or accusing somebody of something like this,
that's
like, you have to be careful, and you have to almost be able to show me 100% with certainty that it happened. And obviously, you can't, and there's no one else has come to bat for Myles Garrett and all of this, so we're left to try and figure out what might have happened. We'll never know what actually happened.
No, and a lot of several Pittsburgh Steelers have come to the defense of their quarterback, of Mason Rudolph, saying he's not that type of guy. He wouldn't say that. He didn't say that, yada, yada. I heard some of that stuff someplace else. I did hear that from the Steelers. The thing is, the truth on this, in my opinion, as far as if what was said, can come out. There's so many microphones that are around these NFL games and these fields, okay? And some players are mic'd up, unbeknownst, even if it's not on whatever, the Monday night game, they might be mic'd up for something else, for a segment for one of the other sports outlets or something NFL Films is doing. Someone might have had a mic on. Refs' mics are on sometimes. I mean, there's a way to pull the sound. Unless he whispered, let's just say hypothetically, Mason Rudolph did say something horrible in a racial slur towards Garrett.
Right, and I mean, it's possible.
It's possible.
It was said and no one else heard it for sure. But also, too, so now we're kind of backtracking over and dissecting this again in a different way. But Mason Rudolph gets hit in the head by a helmet. And his first reaction is to look around like, did you guys see that?
Right.
Did you see what he just did to me?
Yeah, he wants to get the penalty.
Right. If Myles Garrett heard a racial slur, wouldn't he get up screaming? After the fight, be like, did you hear what he called me? And if I'm Myles Garrett, after all of that, and I know how I'm getting destroyed in every corner of the NFL for my actions, like, the next morning, everyone's knowing that.
Right.
Like,
no, you're right.
Everyone's, like, listen, guys, I don't, again, and you know what he said last night, he could have said last Friday morning. It doesn't condone my actions. I shouldn't have done it no matter what, but I thought he called me, blah, blah, blah. And then the conversation's different.
Right. Well, and I hear you, and I agree. I'll tell you who could have heard. Was number 66, Dave DeCastro. He was the one engaged with Garrett when Rudolph came over. So if anybody heard it, it would have been DeCastro, the starting right guard for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And speaking of starting offensive linemen, let's take a listen here to the left guard, Ramon Foster, from the Pittsburgh Steelers, on the situation.
I don't think it was provoked by anything. I know it wasn't provoked by anything Mason said or did. He just took one on the top of the dome. at a guy that lost his cool, and that's unfortunate. But the people that painted a picture of him saying a racist remark or him grabbing him in the groin area is ludicrous.
Well, so, I mean, and I mean, well, there you go. That's one of his teammates saying that. And by the way, to credit that audio to 93.7, the Fan in Pittsburgh. So we appreciate that.
But see, here's the problem with that sentence. And Mike Tomlin said something along those same lines during the week where he was asked, you know, what can you take away from this? And he basically said nothing because we didn't do anything wrong. Mason Rudolph was hand-in-hand instigating this Miles Garrett. So when David DeCastro says, like, he didn't do anything to incite this verbally or physically.
No, that was Foster.
Foster.
Yeah, yeah. I mentioned DeCastro, right, bro, because he was the guy right next to
either way,
Garrett.
Like, that's not true either. Like, this started because Rudolph reacted correctly or overreacted to Miles Garrett taking him down and kind of flopping on him by trying to rip his helmet off. Like, that happened. And that's why Miles Garrett got as angry, or at least started towards being as angry,
right,
as he got. So now to absolve Mason Rudolph of everything is not correct either.
Oh, I completely agree with that. I mean, put aside any accusations of a racial slur, which is a very serious accusation, but putting that aside, like Moose and I talked about it yesterday and the day before, I mean, because it's a very important thing to bring up. Like, Mason Rudolph, and I agree with you. Moose would agree with you. He said the same thing. I'm saying the same thing. Mason Rudolph deserved to get punished in some way, shape, or form here.
Yes.
Because he was definitely, look, a lot of things happen throughout a game. I know that. You know that. And there's a lot of tempers flare towards the end of the game. As the game evolves, I should say, going towards the end of the game, because people are saying things we don't hear to each other, and they're doing things, and they're grabbing people where they shouldn't be grabbing people. And we think these TV cameras catch everything, or the announcers catch everything, and it doesn't happen. It's a nasty game, and that's how the game's always been. So who knows? My point in long-winded form is, and just, again, just real quick for Miles Garrett, who knows what was said or done to him throughout that game by one of the offensive linemen, which is part of the game. I'm not crying about that for Garrett. I'm just saying, like, things happen that can make you build up to that point. But if someone, you know, he's African-American, so if someone, you know, is calling him a racial slur, if that's true, I mean, is it still good enough reason to hit someone in the head with a helmet? No. Of course, and even Garrett said that in his statement.
But it makes it a little more understandable.
Right, if that happened. I don't know. Are we ever going to find the truth? I mean, I'm bringing up the point about there's so much technology and audio that if they really want to delve into this and investigate this, the NFL, they probably could find out if that was said. I'm just saying, Dave DeCastro. I mean, ask him. I don't know. I mean, maybe he was holding back or getting in the face of Garrett. And if that was said, to your point, the way it was said, maybe, if it was said, when Rudolph came over, I mean, I just watched the video during your commentary, and you could see it. Like, it's a situation where DeCastro is right. So that's how quick he threw the ball.
Yeah, I mean, there's two Steeler linemen standing over them wrestling on the ground.
Right, DeCastro's one of them. Right. And, right, so, but watch, this is another clip. So hold on, it's coming up here. But anyway, DeCastro was right near, once the swing of the helmet by Garrett happened, right there. See, there's DeCastro.
Right
there. So now, to your point, Rudolph does this before he gets hit and went over. DeCastro was right there. So, I mean, you could ask him what happened. I mean, someone could ask him.
And this is serious enough that I would hope that whoever it was would choose, like, civility and human respect over teammates.
See, right there, DeCastro's right next to him.
Right. I mean, he's there the whole time.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't know.
See, like, and again, Miles Garrett is, I think he's done with this. He's holding Mason Rudolph's helmet.
Right, that's a good point. But he sees the guy come at him.
No, that's what I'm saying. I think this is about to be over until Mason Rudolph charges him again.
Right.
And then we get the helmet hit.
Yeah,
which is why,
yeah,
Rudolph shouldn't be playing this weekend, in my mind.
Right, right. No, I agree with that. We're going to get you ready for Week 12 in the NFL right here. Taz and Moose, Andrew sitting in for the Moose, 855-212-4227. Give the show a call. We'll be right back.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. we host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.